Well, welcome everybody on this Sunday before Lent. Just a reminder, if you're near in the Exe Valley and you've got transport, we've got an Ash Wednesday service at Loxbier at 6:30, and then subsequent Wednesdays I will be taking Compline at 6:30 with a short Lent meditation, and I'll send you the order of service, and we'll use these sign up details for morning prayer for that if you would like to join me. There's just one Wednesday that I can't do, but all the other Wednesdays between now and Easter, we will meet on a Wednesday if you would like to join me. Praise the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Lord, open our lips and we shall praise your name. People of God, look up. Believe that you will encounter God this morning. Be open to God revealing something of himself and changing the way in which we see the world. And we say together, Almighty God, we ask you to show us something more of who you are and how awesome your presence is. Overcome our fear of the unknown and lead us into a new experience of you. May our worship today be as on a mountaintop, a transforming encounter that empowers our love and understanding of you. Amen. The Lord, the Mighty One, summons his faithful people to approach. Come, let us see his radiance, allowing the light of his glory to shine upon and within us as we offer our worship and praise. God of glory, open our eyes and open our hearts. Help us to see Jesus. God of glory, change us and renew us by your Spirit. And make us more like Jesus. Amen. And the Collect, the Sunday next before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our canticle this morning is the Song of the Three. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. And our first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning, our verse is taken from Psalm 50. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And our second reading, our gospel reading, is from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There they were transfigured before him. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm often shocked by how much time I spend looking at my phone, scrolling through things. I can spend an inordinate amount of time watching people make casseroles, do elaborate things with an old pair of socks, or have their ingrowing toenails removed. I am a particular sucker for the before and after stories. The woman whose husband is serving in the army, she goes on a wonder diet, loses several stone, and when her husband comes home from being abroad, he doesn't recognise her. Or the homeless man, unkempt and bedraggled, who is treated to a haircut from a top hairdresser and emerges from the salon looking and sounding amazing. Before and after. This morning, our gospel reading in Mark treats us to an epic before and after story. The story of Jesus' transfiguration is in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and therefore we can guess that it is an important story for us. The setting of this story is on a high mountain. This would have given Mark's hearers an automatic clue that something amazing was about to happen. God met Moses on a mountaintop. God met Elijah on a mountaintop. And now Jesus invites three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, to go with him to a mountaintop. I wonder what Peter, James, and John were thinking as Jesus led them up the mountain. Were they still mulling over and puzzling the alarming conversations they had had over the past week or so? The day when Peter had blurted out that he thought that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus accepted this, but then went on to tell them that he was going to suffer and die and rise again. Understandably, the disciples are confused. They don't like what they hear, and Peter tells Jesus so. Only then Peter is thoroughly told off by Jesus with those stinging words, "Get behind me, Satan." However, the three disciples do go up the mountain with Jesus, and what they witness is the kingdom of God coming in power. It is the moment when Peter, James, and John see the divine power and glory of God on display. What were they thinking? I would love to know. The story is told from their perspective. These friends have spent a couple of years following Jesus around. They have listened to his teaching. They have seen his miracles. They have been privy to all sorts of things, even things that have surprised and shocked them. But I should think, despite all that, they really believe they know Jesus. They probably believe that they know Jesus better than anyone else. They know him as a friend, as a teacher, as a teller of stories, as a healer, as a traveling companion. And they know more than that. They know his face. They know the color of his hair, the size of his hands, the shape of his feet. They know his mannerisms, the way he eats, what are his favorite things to eat, and the sound of his laugh. They know how much he loves God, and they know how much he loves people. Oh yes, they know him well, and they know that he knows them, and they know that they are safe with him. But then, on the mountain, the unimaginable happens. Jesus changes before their very eyes. On the mountaintop, the disciples can see Jesus just as they know him. But he is also different. He is much more than they had ever seen before. He is much, much more. They don't really have the words to describe what they are seeing, only that his clothes became radiantly, intensely white. This is their before and after moment. They will never see Jesus in the same way again, because they have seen his glory. How do we see Jesus? As we did when we were children, or as teenagers, or maybe we just see him as our parents saw him. But do we see him for ourselves? Do we really, really see him? Have we noticed his glory? For those disciples, Peter, James, and John, one phase of their life is ending. And without warning, another is about to begin. No wonder they were terrified. No wonder they wanted to stay where they were and build some tents and get used to what they had witnessed. No sooner had Peter spoken than his words were eclipsed by the voice of God. In Jewish tradition, a cloud coming down on a mountain indicated the glory of God, and from the cloud, God speaks. God's words at Jesus' baptism were addressed to Jesus, but this time, God's words are addressed to his disciples. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. The words spoken by God helped the disciples to make sense of what they had just seen. Jesus really is the Son of God. The vision goes. Moses and Elijah vanish. The disciples are left with Jesus to walk down the mountainside back to reality, but they will never be the same. They have seen Jesus fully human and fully divine. They have seen that he is so much more than they had imagined. Maybe now they will understand a little better the path Jesus has to tread towards Jerusalem, to suffer and to climb another hillside, this one called Golgotha. Before and after, the Jesus they knew then and the Jesus they know now. As we come to the end of this season in the church's year, we get ready for the journey through Lent towards Easter. We don't know what will happen to us as we make this journey. We don't know how God might invite us to change yet. We don't know how much God will ask us to grow and mature. But we do know that God invites us to make the journey, to take up our cross and to follow. Will we do it? Will I do it? What lies ahead for each one of us? All we know we can learn from this story. Just like Peter, James, and John, we are disciples following Jesus Christ. And he invites us to see more of him. He longs to show us who he really is. He invites us to travel with him. And just like Peter, James, and John, we can trust him. Resurrection and the fullness of life is ours if we do. And may we behold Jesus' glory. Amen. And we turn now to our prayers. As you can see, if you've got the order of service, there is a response to these prayers. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being with us even when we didn't know you were there. For the times when we caught a glimpse of you, for moments when we might have had an amazing encounter. We rejoice that you are a God who comes to us. Raise our eyes towards you today, that we might go into the week ahead energized and inspired to meet you in every person and every situation. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Lord, we lift to you our world. We pray for the places that are in need of your presence and glory. We pray for Ukraine and the Middle East, for Ethiopia and other parts of Africa once again facing famine. Lord, we pray that in every place where there is need, pain, hunger, and despair, there may be a new revelation of you. Give us the eyes of faith to see where you are at work in the darkness of our world. Help us to see your light and seek ways to spread that light further and further until all the world sees a glimpse of your glory. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Lord, we pray for all who have hit the headlines this week, whether for good, painful, or unpleasant reasons. We also remember those who were prominent in the news just a few days or weeks ago, who have now faded from the front pages, yet whose stories are still known to you. Thank you, Lord, that you never forget anyone. You know our stories and love us throughout our lives. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Lord, we bring to you those who need a special touch from you right now. We pray for those who are sick, remembering King Charles among them. We also pray for those members of our mission community and communities who have asked for our prayers. For Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Keith, Janice, Peter, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Joy, Alex, Rupert, Maya, Connie, and Margaret. May they know the revelation of your healing power. We pray for those who are sad and sorrowful, particularly the family and friends of Connie Rich, Maureen Batstone, Joan Phillips, and Brenda Hiscox. Come close, Lord, with your tender touch. Help us to be bringers of peace and kindness this week to anyone we know who needs to feel your presence in their lives. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Lord, thank you that the disciples and gospel writers had the courage to tell their stories. We pause for a moment to think of those who directly or indirectly led us to this faith moment in our lives. Lord Jesus, the great storyteller, help us never to be ashamed of our story of faith, even if it doesn't seem as dramatic or exciting as those of other people. Give us the courage and desire to tell our story to others, that our witness may in some way help to bring others to trust and follow you. Lead us this week into moments of opportunity where we can share your love with those who need you so deeply. God of glory, surround us with the light of your presence. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, who makes saints of sinners, who has transformed those we remember today, raise and strengthen you, that you may transform the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you and those you love and pray for today and always. Amen. Glory to God, whose power at work among us can do definitely more than all we can ask or conceive. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. I hope you have a good week, and I will see you this time next week on Zoom, and I'll be able to tell you all about my adventures in London.
Good luck.
And I hope you have a good week too, wherever and whatever you're doing. And thank you so much for your company and your presence. I always think it's the best way to start a Sunday with you here. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon. God bless.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye, everyone. Have a great week.